In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I have thought about this a lot, that what would I speak to you about today? In the recent times, I have thought a lot about our faith and God, the target of our faith. And this is because of this also that I have followed the discussion in our beloved state church, and I have had to think what kind of understanding of God does our state church have. Of course, I cannot in any way teach our state church, and I do not even try, but I want to, for myself, want to find out how is this God that I have learned to know, and this personal thoughts of mine, if they could help some service guest in this, that what is the target of my faith and what is my relationship with God. From that basis, I have chosen a text, Psalm 95, which is in the church calendar for this Sunday, which talks about the hidden God. The Psalms, as our brother mentioned, it is worth to read them. They tell of God, and they are also psalms to God. As Jukka Palola has said this about the Psalms. I will read from verse 1 through 7, and the words are heard in Jesus' name. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice. Amen. In these types of big services, where we are here at the Jämsä Opis, the services at the beautiful Isokirja campus, and recently we have been able to be at the summer services, and also there are other big services forthcoming. We can listen to sermons here, and we can also listen and participate in many hymns and songs and in song services. I especially have been touched by the evening song services in the summer service tent when it's all completely full of people, and the believing people there, from the bottom of their hearts, sing. It is a song of praise, a song of thankfulness, song of and being joyful for the Lord, to whom we sing to and of whom we sing. I have often recently thought of Finnish hymn 618, which for some reason has been sung quite frequently at these big services, also in smaller services, normal services. I'm trying to find the words here in the it sings of God. All the words in the end are Lord Sebaot. It is in the LSC hymnal, is 587. Joy in heaven, joy, everlasting joy. Joy is the angels' hymn, alleluia, alleluia. Their saints are free from sin. From that unnumbered throng goes forth the rising song, O Lord of hosts, amen. We shall see him in his beauty, our bridegroom we shall meet. No language here on earth can tell of heaven's mirth, O Lord of hosts, amen. This song also pictures heaven, which is our destination of our faith. But without faith, it is impossible to be suitable for God. And this is how the scripture tells us. And then it is important to know what is the destination of our faith. And what is the target of our faith? We have to always have a target. And I simply think that the target of our faith is God, our Heavenly Father. In our creed, it is very old, maybe from 200 after birth of Christ. Yes, the faith has been formed into the Apostles' Creed of Father Almighty, the Triune God, Jesus Christ, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This creed is familiar to you, listeners, dear listeners. I'm sure many of you know it by heart. At least in confirmation school, you have learned it, and it has been questioned of you, and you have known it well there too. There it is summarized, the picture of God in which we believe. I have also heard of the picture in the Large Catechism of the Triune of God. I do not know it by heart, but it is essential that God is, that we have God. There are also people who do not believe in God, but Christian faith begins from the fact that God is. And when God is, then God is triune, but it is one God who has three persons for different purposes. And in this church book, which I do not remember the title of, And I do not recall exactly from what publication it is, but it is indivisible. These three persons cannot be separated from each other. They have been formed together in one, and they can be seen by us as Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in the relationship between man and God, they have their own purposes. Each of them have their own purposes for us. The picture of God to us, and this hymn which I cited, they picture God so that he is so great that one small creature cannot explain fully what is the Lord like. But from in some small part, I would like to, and with that gift that God has given me, that I would like to speak of this. In our text, Psalm text, it speaks of God. And I would think that in these first verses, which speak of the great God, it is a picture of the triune God. And then in the middle part of the red portion, it speaks of the Creator God, God the Creator, which we say in the Creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. There is already in that sentence much said about God. He is the maker of, who has made heaven and earth. In the middle portion of the text, it said, in his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. The greatness of God is shown by this creation of God. God has created not only earth, but the whole universe, the stars, and everything. They are immeasurable. We cannot understand the greatness of the Almighty power of God. God is great and holy, almighty, but God is also a hidden God. He does not show himself to man. He does not speak to man directly. He is in that way remote God. Nevertheless, he is not unknown to us. He makes himself known to us, and he proclaims himself unto us. But the greatness of God, I have thought about, the greatness of God can be compared to this, that we people are very small. In Isaiah, if I remember right, chapter 55, it pictures the greatness of God in this way, that God himself, through prophet, says that my ways are higher than your ways. So high as the heaven is from the earth, so great are my thoughts compared to your thoughts, says the Lord. So we as small people, we cannot achieve the greatness of God and the wisdom of God and the power of God. In Psalm 36, it is also said of the greatness of God in these words, Lord, your grace is vast like the sky, and the clouds picture your truth. Your righteousness is higher than the mountains, and your glory is deeper than the deepest seas. You help the man and the animals. Your grace is great, and you take care of men, and you give them to eat and to drink of your stream. In with you is the fountain of life. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. There are many characteristics of God which we as humans with our skills cannot understand. It is said of God that God is the Lord of life and death. Pekka Ojanne yesterday in the Swedish sermon spoke lovingly of the faith of a child. He also spoke of this, how God gives us children. We do not make children, but we receive children. God gives life. Man nowadays tries to prevent the gift of God if he does not want children. But we can ask then that is, as man understood the love and grace of God correctly, if he does not want the will of God to happen in his life. Jesus says, let children come to me. Very recently, maybe 2 weeks ago, a week ago, I was able to hear of my close friend's family who passed away. She was taken in heaven's home. What can man do when God calls another to away from this time? Man cannot do anything when God is the Lord of death. God gives life and takes man away from this time when it is time. Doctors and healthcare can sometimes prolong life and alleviate pain, but at the end, life is only in the hands of God, and we must accept this. Before this, my brother spoke of a farmer who had sowed the seed, and he said, what can he do after the sowing of the seed has been done? He must only wait and see if God gives the weather for the growth. I was touched. The trust of believing farmers in God, even in this matter, when the harvest approaches, when there is time to collect the grain, even on Sunday, the farmers collect the grain, but a believing farmer goes to services, even though he may see that it is necessary to gather the grain on Sunday, but the faithfulness to God, he is obedient to God, and obedient to that you should sanctify Sunday. And they make do with this. Faith is also faithfulness to God. From the characteristics of God, one of the most important, or one very important one, is this. It is written in the second book of Moses, Exodus. It is also the first commandment which God has given to man. I am the Lord your God. I led you away from Egypt. You shall have no other gods. This is what God in his first commandment, which is in a way the main commandment for all the commandments, it characterizes God, and it explains that you shall not have other gods. What does it mean? It says here that you shall not make a statue or any icon of God for you. Not that which is above high in heaven, not for that which is low on earth, or not for that which is in the water underneath the crust. Do not bow and worship those, because I, Lord, your God, unto the third and fourth generations, I will make those who hate me pay me. But from generation to generation, I will be merciful to those who love me and live according to my commandments. So in our great God, there are these two sides. He is He's a zealous God to those who do not follow his commandments, but he is a merciful God to those who love him and follow his commandments. To my mind has stuck our beloved brother Penthesiolus' words when he said that God is an authority. I heard in some discussion recently that someone may have might have a drama from authority. It may mean this, that it is difficult for him or her to be under or be under authority. Our time emphasizes individuality and individuals and the rights of individual. I have thought in this emphasis of the individualism of what kind of picture of God do we get when we live in the time of individualism. I read last year's 2024, which was 2024 SRK publication. I do not remember the title of the book, but God is in the title, and it is told in many ways of God and his and God's effect on people. And Ari Pelkonen writes in this book with this title or heading that do I have false gods? And so I thought that this is in many ways good writing, that it does not touch ourselves. It is important for us to take care of ourselves first, as it is taught in the scriptures also, that we should take care of ourselves first and then our flock. And then Ari Pelkonen asks in this heading, do I have false gods? He there explains different God understandings. Maybe the closest and most important is theism. It is such a understanding of God, which is a Christian understanding, which we also as Conservatarian Lutherans are dear Zion, we understand in this way that God is and we have one triune God, as I said in the beginning. Then there is world, but God is not the world. World is a vast, also, and it has many explanations, but we do not go into that. But God is a hidden God who lives on high in glory and holiness, but he also lives in those who are poor and have a broken spirit. But God affects in the world, and God creates new in this world all the time, and his work can be seen in his creation work. We will return to this if God wills, but God is in heaven, and he is shown to us in different ways here on earth. And then Ari Pelkonen mentions then another understanding of God is pantheism, where man is central and it is related to man, and it is related to movements like feminism and liberal theology. I do not open these further, for I do not understand about them much, but these are worldly movements which are contrary to the Christian understanding. Then Ari-Pekka, another understanding of God, which is in the middle of these two prior understandings. And then there is also atheism, which says that there is no God. And Ari-Pekka writes there in that publication, in his writing, in this way, that this liberal, this Christian liberal theology is based on this panentheism, where man is central and the needs of man are more emphasized. And also in our beloved state church, this understanding of God affects the understandings of many people, where the needs of man are emphasized, and man himself wants to say what is right and what is wrong, even though the Word of God says what is right and wrong. And the understanding of God, and as a follow-up there, do we have a wrong understanding of God? It affects our how we understand the Word of God and how we understand the importance of Word of God, and it affects the understanding of what is sin and what is not sin. And those then take away the life of man, for it affects the life of man, what man can do and what he can't do. In Christianity, when we speak of sin, there are four different types of sin, forms of sin, and one of them is this: when man uplifts himself or raises himself above God and begins to decide for himself what is right and wrong, then his sin is pride. God does not accept sin. To sinful man and to those who accept sin, God is a zealous God who then revenges this to third and fourth generation. And I have thought about this, that is it even fair that he would revenge even to the third and fourth generation? But it is not our matter to duty to review or judge the zealousness of God. God is also good and gracious, merciful and good, and God loves his created man and wants that every man can receive grace and the love of God here on earth. This love, which the people of this time see that love is a right to all, but according to the scripture, love comes from God. Love is not in this that we love one another, but love is in this that God first loved us. And when God has loved us so, then we also, after this, should love one another. And in this love, we do not speak of the relationship between two different people, which would be closer to Eros love. But in this place, God speaks of apake love, which is the love of God, the sacrificial love of God. When I spoke of this, how God is hidden, no one has seen him. I would like to say one thing about this hidden God. Those of you who may be here in this tent, you see under me the service motto or logo. There is a great hand hovering over the people there. If I quickly find the text portion, which comes to mind when I look at this hand, in Exodus chapter 32 or 33, which is related to something that Arto Paavola yesterday already spoke about. Moses asked from God when he had spoken with him on the wilderness journey or during the wilderness journey, let me see your glory. Moses wanted to see the glory of God. In the first sermon at the opening service, it was spoken of the way and the journey, of speaking of the way and the journey. And for a reason, it was spoken of this, of the way and the journey. And often have come to my mind when children, as a child, I was able to listen when speaker brothers who had visited our home had spoken about the way and the journey. They spoke of the matter of faith. And I, as a young boy, was very interested in these discussions. And when my old father and I was older, I was able to visit my older father, and he related of Matti Läkkö, who Matti had pondered and marveled the glory of God and what may this glory be. I do not recall more closely what did these brothers speak of the glory of God, but it came to my remained in my mind that even these matters that I do not understand myself, or we do not understand ourselves, we can marvel about them, that we have such a great God that we do not understand all greatness of him, but we can marvel and be thankful for him, that we have such a great God that we can marvel. And in this way, with the humble mind, look at him. And so Moses wanted to see God's glory. And when God then answered, I will give you the glory to travel by you, and I will say to you the word Yahweh. I will forgive those who I want, and I will be merciful to those who I want. Lord then says again, you cannot see my face, for any man who shall see my face will perish. This hidden God, seeing of the hidden God, is not possible to man on earth. For this reason, God is hidden, he protects us in this way. But God gives something of himself. And then we come to this picture in the logo of the service motto. Be here at this rock. When my glory comes by, I will put you in the rock and I will protect you with my hand until I have walked past. And then I will take my hand away and you can see me from behind, but no one can see my face. And in this way, God proclaims himself to us, but he protects us with his strong hand. Moses, who was prophet also, to whom God only spoke to, was not able to see the face of God, even though it says in some places where Moses spoke to him face to face, but it means that Moses' face was so bright that the people could not look at him, which happened at that wilderness journey. And in this way, God gives certain limits to us, borders to us, but he also protects us and wants all good for us. I thought that this hand in the service logo can be the blessing hand of God. The blessing hand of God. It travels above us. It travels with us. Wherever we may be, he knows this. Last evening, they spoke of Psalm 139. God knows each of us. Not a hair may come off our head without his knowing. Do you have strength to believe even this? How does God proclaim himself to us? God has this type of general way of showing himself to us. He speaks to us in trials of life that we may have, but then there is also this type of special proclamation where God speaks to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. So has God loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, so that all that would believe in him shall be righteous. In Jesus Christ, in his Son, he redeemed us, that in believing in his Son, we would be able to believe our sins forgiven, and so would be acceptable to God. This is the way of God to proclaim himself to us. And it does not end here. In the Apostles' Creed, it says, I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. When Jesus had resurrected from the death, he revealed himself to his own disciples, and he gave them the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And in this way, he left the office of the Holy Spirit to his congregation here on earth. And this office of the Holy Spirit, we have the authority as children of God to have the office of the Holy Spirit, and this authority can be used so that we can proclaim each other sins forgiven. When we proclaim sins forgiven here on earth, the heaven hears it. This is how God has wanted to take care of this matter, that the forgiveness of sin has been made possible. And I would say that even easy, when a brother can proclaim sins forgiven to his brother and his sister, that your sins are forgiven. The salvation work of God works in this way, and the target of our faith, God, takes good care of us, and he ensures this, that we one day can reach the everlasting life. In the very end of the red text, it says, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice." We spoke of the hand that is pictured in the logo of the service motto, this right hand of God, which is strong and powerful. It takes care of us, even in those situations where we have trials and we have difficulties, and it feels that the road ahead of us is steep. But God gives us trials, but he also takes good care of us. There are many examples of this in the scripture. We do not have time to go through all of them, but in this sermon, I have tried to say this, that God is great, God is almighty and wise and all-knowing. Man is small, but God takes care of this small person. Even you are taken care of, especially you, dear listener. You may remain believing, all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, unto peace, freedom, and joy. In Jesus' name and blood. Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins forgiven, unto peace, freedom, and joy. In this way, God takes care of us and carries us. In some way, I think that when we are able to gather at these big services, the thankfulness of God can be heard from us. We have a God who we can glorify, and we can be thankful and joyous that we can be in the good care of this type of God, under his strong hand live and be. May I also remain believing, my sins forgiven. I want to believe in this way. In Jesus' name, amen.